children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
God can see everything, all the time, the good things and the bad things.
Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good.
Singing that in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Won't you please do it?
Oh, I would for you, of course, but what's the use? You've had the palsy for 8 years, confined to your bed. And just because the man is from Jerusalem, you think he can heal you?
No, that's not it at all. I think he's a man of God.
Man of God? He's not a priest or connected with the temple, even as a janitor. Fact is, I hear the temple authorities don't even like him.
What others think makes no difference to me. It's truth that counts. I think this man, Peter, and his friends are followers of the Messiah. The Messiah was Jesus, the one who was crucified. He is the Son of God with all power in heaven and earth. He created all things, and he can heal all diseases.
You want to be taken where Peter is going to preach?
Please.
Well, what have we here?
His name is Aeneas, Peter. He's been in bed with palsy for 8 years. A good, patient man.
I believe in Jesus. If he were here, he could heal me, if he will to.
Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you well. Arise and make your bed.
I am well. I can walk. The palsy is gone. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm so happy. I want everyone to know that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, so that they can know the joy in him that I know. I'm going up and down the streets and tell everyone that I am well, and tell the people that Jesus did it.
Don't you ever get tired of sewing?
Of course not. Word for myself, I might, but this is for the poor and needy.
I almost forgot. Mrs. Ida asked me to tell you she'd like to see you.
Does she need clothes?
No, poor soul. She needs understanding and sympathy.
You don't have time for that sort of thing, surely.
The things inside us and the way we feel are sometimes much more important than our exteriors, the things we wear, and our houses or our physical comfort. Many in the church feel that the ministers should take care of the spiritual welfare of members, but, well, sometimes a woman needs another woman's help and understanding. There are 24 hours in a day. I need to eat and rest, but other than that, my time belongs to Jesus. And to do it unto the least of my fellow beings is to do it for Jesus.
You're a wonderfully unusual woman, Dorcas.
I feel so much better, Dorcas. Thanks for coming.
I'm glad, Ida. And don't worry, everything will be all right. You just keep smiling and trusting in Jesus. Pray and have faith.
Dorcas is late. Something unusual for her.
Is there something we can do while we're waiting for her?
She had some special project for today. But we can get the materials and things ready to go to work when she does get here.
I don't see how that woman can do so much. She's busy all the time. She seems to understand just what people need, and she supplies it.
There's one thing for sure. Her skillful fingers are more active than her tongue. Come in.
Mrs. Dorcas sent me. She can hardly talk. She's sick. Want someone to come over.
We'll all go. Oh, I hope she isn't very ill.
It's best that only one or two of us go. The rest of you, pray for her.
Oh, she was such a wonderful woman. Yes, and what do we do without her? And the community, the city. Oh, she helped everybody. Made no difference. Race, color, belief.
Your attention, please, for just a moment. The Apostle Peter is in Lydda. Why don't we send messengers and ask him to come?
Peter, sir, the women at Joppa want you to come over there. They ask you not to delay.
She died, Peter. Sir, she's in the upper chamber.
Please, take me to her.
See all these things? Coats, headgear, footwear, garments of all sorts. She was a blessing and a help to the entire city. They didn't have to be a believer in Jesus to get her help. She loved and helped all in need. Her passing away will be a great loss to Joppa as well as to the church.
In view of her life of service, it is little wonder that warm tears fall upon the body of Dorcas. Will you please have everyone leave the room? I should like to be alone with this godly woman.
All right. Everyone, let us go down to the courtyard.
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of all people, I bow before thee with a sad and bleeding heart. This dear woman whose life has been taken was a blessing to the people of Joppa. She was an example of what a true believer in thy son should be. She worked untiringly for thee and thy children. She wearied not in doing good and tending to the spiritual and physical needs of thy created beings. If it be thy will, O God of love and mercy, bring this thy servant back to life. In the name of Jesus the Savior, I ask this. Amen. Dorcas, arise.
Oh, greetings. I must have fallen asleep. If you'll just... Why, I seem to be well. I was ill, you know, very ill. Anyway, if you'll please help me up, I shall try to be a proper hostess.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
So blue, they're from the sky that you passed through. Where did you get that little tear? Did you find that it was waiting for you? And what about your
Carlos, what are you looking for?
My science book. The one with the picture of the moon on the front.
How can you find anything in that locker? It looks like something exploded in there.
Something did. My science project.
By the way, how's your praying going? God still ignoring you?
Actually, no. I did what you said and started listening after I pray. And I think he's given me some pretty good ideas.
Like what?
Well, last week, when my mom was sick, I asked God what to do to help her get better.
And?
And God gave me a really good thought.
Let me guess. He suggested that you not bug her all the time and let her rest?
Well, that might have worked too. But after I prayed, I thought about soup.
Soup?
Yeah, you know, soup. So I made some.
You made your mother something to eat?
Yep, I made her my famous Carlos stew.
You have a stew named after you?
Yes, it's all natural ingredients and comes in a can labeled tomato soup. I just added my secret ingredient, and she loved it.
Your secret ingredient being?
Crackers.
Carlos, that's tomato soup and crackers. There's nothing secret about that.
Ah, but when I gave it to her, I whispered, Mom, here's some soup to make you feel better. I made it myself, and I love you. She smiled and said thank you. Soon, she got better and told me that my Carlos stew was the best medicine there is.
Next time I get sick, you can make me some Carlos stew too. But you can leave out the I love you part. Just give me the soup.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Our friend the poor widow is rich. preaching the Lord.
I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story shows you how great it is to have a pet and how sad it can be when a pet disappears. While Jenny and her friend Natalie search for clues about what happened to Butterscotch, Jenny learns some important lessons about forgiveness. Chapter 8, Found and Lost Again. "Where is Butterscotch?" Jenny shouted. "I don't know," Tevin said miserably. "She ran away. I only meant to keep her for a little while. I was going to give her back." Tevin's eyes weren't angry anymore. They were sad and frightened. "I'm sorry." Jenny heard her own voice, but couldn't believe what she was saying. "I forgive you," she managed to get out before her lips clamped shut. The ride home was filled with silence, broken only by Jenny's sobs. After they dropped Dee Dee off at her house, Mom laid a hand on Jenny's knee. "Honey," her mother said gently, "I really think you should prepare yourself to accept the fact that Butterscotch may never come home." Jenny gulped back a big sniffle. "I know, Mom, but I'm going to keep hoping." "I know it's a little soon, but would you like to think about getting a kitten?" Jenny shook her head fiercely. "No, I don't want another kitten. I want Butterscotch. No other cat could take her place." "I understand, honey. We'll keep praying that Butterscotch comes home." When they got home, Jenny sank down on the couch. Her mom sat next to her and stroked Jenny's hair just as she did whenever Jenny was sick. "I wish I was sick," Jenny thought. "I wish I was just sick and that I had just dreamed that Butterscotch was gone." "I don't understand," she said finally. "Why did Jesus let Butterscotch run away again after I apologized to Dee Dee like he wanted?" "Jenny, look at me," her mother said sternly. Jenny lifted her head and looked directly at her mother. "Is that what you think? That Jesus was waiting for you to apologize to Dee Dee before he sent Butterscotch back?" Jenny nodded her head slowly. "Sort of." "Honey, Jesus didn't expect you to apologize to Dee Dee because you had to, or so that he will do what you want him to. He wanted you to apologize to Dee Dee because you love him and want to make him happy. Do you understand?" "I think so," Jenny said, but understanding didn't take away her sadness. That night, with the lights out, she stared out her window until her eyelids refused to stay open any longer. In the shoebox that week, all the kids were so excited about Family Day that no one really noticed how sad Jenny was. She sat in the back of the room watching everyone and wishing she could get excited about Family Day, too. Mrs. Shue told them about the booth that the shoebox kids would be running. "It's the Go Fish booth," she said. She held up a broomstick with a string attached to it tied to a clothespin. "The children will take one of these fishing poles and let the line down on the other side of the counter like this. Maria, come help me catch this prize." Maria ducked down behind the table. When Mrs. Shue tossed her fishing line over the counter, Maria took out a small prize and attached it to the clothespin. Then she tugged on the line, and Mrs. Shue pulled it up. "See," Mrs. Shue said, holding up the prize, "each child who plays will receive a prize like this one. It will cost 50 cents each time they go fish, and the money that we earn will go to help pay for our camping trip at the end of the summer. We'll all take turns hiding behind the counter to attach the prizes so that everyone will have time to visit the other displays." "What if we don't want to visit the other displays?" Jenny asked silently. "What if we don't want to come at all? Maybe I'll pretend I'm sick that day." "No, Dad promised to come to Family Day, and I want to see him. I'm just going to have to try to have a little fun, even if I can't show Butterscotch in the pet show." The thought made her sad again. "Oh, Butterscotch, where are you?" She was still thinking the same thing when she went to sleep that night. "Jenny?"
Jenny sat straight up. What? Oh, it's you, Mom. It took a few seconds to remember where she was and why she was clutching Butterscotch's battered old stuffed mouse. All she could remember was that Butterscotch was gone. Again. Probably forever. Honey, it's time to leave for family day, Mom said. Natalie called and said she's ready to go. Jenny put Butterscotch's old mouse on her dresser. Now I remember. I fell asleep thinking about Butterscotch. She sighed. One thing is for sure, Butterscotch and I won't be entering the pet show today. Jenny tried to be happy as her friend got in the car. She didn't want to ruin Natalie's day, but it was awfully hard being happy when she was sad and mad inside. Your father said he would be a little late, Jenny's mom told her as they pulled into the parking lot. Why don't you take Natalie over to the shoebox display and show her the hawk feather and hummingbird nest you found? Jenny led Natalie over to the shoebox display and showed Natalie the things she'd found a few weeks ago on a nature hike. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw that the pet show was about to start. Do you want to watch? Natalie asked. No. Well, yes, Jenny admitted. Natalie took her by the arm and steered her over to a spot where they could see better. Dr. Gibbons, the veterinarian, was standing in the middle of a big circle of animals. He had on a long white lab coat and looked very important. Jenny looked at all the animals. Chris Vargas was trying to keep his hamster, Herman, in a shoebox until Dr. Gibbons could look at him. Willie and his dog, Coco, were practicing some tricks while they waited to be judged, but Jenny's eyes stopped at Sammy and his cat, Whispers. She walked over closer and heard Whispers' quiet, meow. He sounds just like Butterscotch. Jenny blinked quickly. I don't want to start crying right here. Whispers surely does look nice, don't you think? A voice at Jenny's elbow asked. Jenny swung around. Natalie was no longer beside her. Instead, she saw Dee Dee and Tevin smiling at her as they munched on corn dogs. Tevin watched the animals closely as if he was going to judge them. If it was up to me, Tevin said finally, I'd choose Whispers. Well, it isn't up to you, Jenny snapped. Besides, it shouldn't be too hard for Whispers to win anyway, now that Butterscotch is gone. Maybe that's what you wanted in the first place. I hope you're happy.
You have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 3, Jenny's Cat-Napped Cat, written by Celeste Perino Walker, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.